The greatest power you will ever experience is the power of God's love towards you. Death has been defined, and regret has been denied. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not revolve around your love and commitment towards God, but it revolves around God's love and commitment towards you. Now, what a relief, forgiven and free. God is not a sin-conscious God, but a worth-conscious God. And you are worth so much to Him. The following program revolves around God's love for you, when you can discover your worth and enjoy the life God has dreamt for you. Greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus. I am Bertie Brits, and it's a privilege for me to serve you with the gospel of God's grace, the only gospel there is, the gospel of peace, where peace between man and God, peace between men, people groups, Jews and Gentiles, as well as peace in the heart of man as pertaining to his war on sin, is declared. Isn't that absolute good news? The gospel of peace. Today we're going to be talking about the gospel of peace, but before we get into the message, I would just like to remind you of a web church we have. If you are not in a fellowship, in a local fellowship, and you want to be part of an internet church, you can go to dynamicministries.com and you can just click on web church. And when you click on web church, you can meet our internet pastors there, and you can read all that our web church is about. It's a church that is designed to help people that don't have a local grace-based church, that they can fellowship around grace and be equipped in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please go to dynamicministries.com and then you just click on web church. And we've got everything there from our discipleship program, discussions, interest groups, whatever you can think of is there and will really bless you. The vision is just to see people know and understand the gospel of grace, and from that platform go into their area and impact people with the good news, and just to have a personal relationship with God based on the grace of God. Amen. Right, we're going to get into the message for today. Today we're going to talk about the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace. And I want to read from Romans 10 and verse 15, as well as Ephesians 6 verse 15. It says, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and brings glad tidings of good things." And then it says in Ephesians 6:15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." What we see is that the gospel is called the gospel of peace. And the Apostle Paul comes and he likens the gospel of peace to age-old truth about war and what happened in war in the times of Israel, when they would make war with different nations and different people that were against them. What normally happened in the time of war is they would go into a valley and they would fight the battle in the valley. And then Israel would be behind a mountain or a mountain range, and that's where the nation would be safe. And then they would send their army to fight in this valley or on the other side of a mountain. And then what would happen is they would have a runner. And what this runner would do is he would bring news from the battlefield on a regular basis to the nation. And should the battle be won, you could see by the way he was running, the joy, the excitement inside him that he is bearing absolute good news that is for the whole nation. Now that is this part that is That is the basic understanding that is behind Romans 10 verse 15. And I want to just read Romans 10 verse 15 again quickly. It says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and brings glad tidings of good things." So what he's saying is that they, how beautiful are the feet that preach glad tidings of good things. Now, the gospel of Jesus is good news. So if you hear the gospel of Jesus and it is a complicated system wherein you need to follow 20 principles in how to be free, it is not the gospel. It is not the extraordinary good news of the message where the battle has been won, where peace has come, where the old things have already passed away, and where everything is made new. When the Apostle Paul came and he said, you know, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach good news, it wasn't talking about somebody that went and, you know, has got very clean feet and the holiness of the person that brings the good news. No, it talks about how beautiful it is for those who see the runner that comes with a message of the victory that has already been attained by the army on behalf of the whole nation. And if you take a soccer team and they play for you, let's say Bafana plays for South Africa. If Bafana scores a goal, then I've scored a goal. That's exactly how it works, because they play for me. They represent South Africa. If the United States competes in a certain competition, for those of you that watch in the U.S., and you've sent a U.S. team and they get a gold medal, that medal is for the whole nation. You can be sitting and watching on television. You can look at what's going on there, and you could be smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, be completely overweight, cannot walk properly because you've got knee and hip problems and everything. But if you are a U.S. citizen and the United States got gold, then you would say, "We got gold. We've gotten gold in that event." The very same, you know, with any sport. It is the team represents you. They don't play for themselves. They train. They do everything. They understand that game. South Africa, we love rugby. You know, they if the Springboks play, they understand rugby. They love rugby. They're passionate about it. They've given their life for it. And they go and play, and it's an honor for them to run out onto that field representing South Africans. So I don't have to train. I don't even have to understand rugby. All that I know is I am represented in that team. And even if I believe in that team or not, they play for me. Should I believe in them and I see this truth, then their victory will really touch my heart and change my life. Should I not believe or trust in them or don't care for rugby, then their victory would not mean a lot to me. But the same analogy is what Paul uses. He comes and he says, what Christ has accomplished can be likened to a battle in war where the army has won, and now the runner comes with the good news of our victory. So I want to tell you, the gospel is not the message of how God makes you savable, and then, you know, and how he pays for your sin, and after he's paid for your sin, now you need to toe the line, and you are still in some form of a battle where you still don't qualify, where salvation is not sure, where it is a if, but, and touch not, handle not, do not system. No. The gospel is the good news of the attained victory of Jesus Christ, where it is finished. it is accomplished, where sin was conquered, where death was conquered, and where that sin and death was not the sin and death of Jesus, but it was our sin and our death, and was all about how he conquered that. That's what it's all about. It is not about Jesus bringing a new set of rules and a new set of laws that we need to do, where these laws are even higher or more strict than the Old Testament laws, and then he empowers us by the Holy Spirit to keep to these laws, and then he can save us one day. I want to tell you, and this is a very, very powerful truth. Excuse me, I've got just a little bit of a cough. Traveled, and then didn't sleep, preached, and got a bit of a cough on the plane on the way back. But when we realize what Christ has done for us, we need to come to the conclusion, the bottom line conclusion, that what Adam did can never be compared with that which Jesus Christ has done. We've got a very beautiful town in South Africa here called Hermanus, and it's really beautiful. And a certain time of the year, there's about 100, 150 whales in the bay there. And you can just stand on a high rock and look over the bay and see these whales. It's so beautiful. And the ocean is so beautiful with high mountains. It is just like one of the most beautiful places in the world. And if I would go and I would take a dish and I would put a little bit of seawater in there and a little bit of sand and a little sea star and a small rock or two, and I want to compare what's going on in that bowl to the ocean, that is the comparison there is between what Adam accomplished, or what Satan accomplished in Adam, and what God accomplished in Jesus Christ. What God accomplished in Jesus Christ is much better news than what Satan got right in Adam compared to how bad that was. The good news is much better than what the bad news was bad. God accomplished a victory in Jesus that is greater than your weakness. It is something that is so awesome that when Jesus was born, the angels shouted out and said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward man." Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Now, we're preaching about the gospel of peace. What is peace, and what does this peace mean? Now, before we get to the definition, I want you just to grab this. For the first, 10 minutes of this message, this is what I want you to grab. Grab a hold of this. It is the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. There is no other gospel. You know, we think we've got the gospel of God's judgment, and we've got the gospel of God's justice, and then we get the gospel of God's righteousness, and then we get the gospel of peace, and then we get the gospel of obedience. There's not different gospels. There's only one gospel, and that is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the gospel of peace. Is the good news of what God has done to single-handedly redeem mankind and bring salvation to man and bring peace to man, so that whosoever believe can have eternal life. Glory to God. Now let's go to the definition of peace. The definition of peace in the Greek is the following. It says properly from a primary verb, peace, to join literally or figuratively, by implication prosperity, oneness, peace, or quietness, or rest, or to be set at one again. Now look at that definition again. I want to just point out some words there. It means to join literally or figuratively, prosperity, one, or to be one, peace, quietness, rest, to set at one again, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot, of whatever sort that is. Peace between individuals, in other words, harmony or concord, to be joined together, security or safety. Now, when we say it is the gospel of peace, it must be the good news of how God has come and joined us together with Him. And not just how God has joined us with Him, but how God has joined us with holiness, with righteousness, with His equity of character, how God has joined us with eternal life. That is the gospel of peace. When Adam sinned, we could go with the bad news of how we have been separated from life, how we have been separated from joy, how we have been separated from having everything for free, and where we cannot just have things by faith, but where everything is by our works. You know, works righteousness gospel is not good news. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law, and then after He fulfilled the law was declared null and void, and there's no need for the law whatsoever, and the law has passed away. The Bible clearly says that not one point or one comma of the law will in any way pass away till all be fulfilled. In other words, unless the law is done, unless the law is obeyed, it will not pass away. Not one point or one comma will pass away, but He has come to fulfill it. He said, and Jesus didn't only say He came to fulfill the law. He said He actually came to fulfill prophecy. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Now, if I received a powerful prophecy, and that prophecy said that I would marry a girl called Helena Bardenhorst, I mean, I would walk with that prophecy, and I would quote that prophecy, I would think of that prophecy, and I would look for somebody that is called Helena Bardenhorst. And until I've married Helena Bardenhorst, that prophecy will stand. But the moment that I've married Helena, that prophecy is of no need anymore. Why? Because I have now the substance in my hands. I've got this, I've joined myself with the end of that prophecy. And you will not find me going around saying, I will marry someone called Helena Bardenhorst. I will not say, well, Helena Bardenhorst now became Helena Brits. The prophecy was fulfilled, and there would be no need for that prophecy because it is fulfilled. In the very same way, Jesus comes and He says He would fulfill the law. So once whatever the law said had to take place to bring salvation to man, once all of that is done, then it would pass away. And that's exactly what happened in Jesus Christ. So Jesus came and He fulfilled the law. When He said, it is done, was it done or was it not done? That's the question. For everybody out there that's church leaders, if you preach your gospel to your people, what are you preaching? Are you preaching a message of what Christ has accomplished and helping people, encouraging people to believe in the finished work of where their sins has been pardoned, of how it is a gospel of peace, not a gospel of potential peace, but the gospel of peace? You know, the Bible says in that very same Romans that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word call upon the name of the Lord means those who are willing to take the family name upon them, or willing to be surnamed. So when you preach a message, and we preach the true gospel, it must be a message where the person that hears it feels that he's part of God's family, where God doesn't point the finger, where God is not a sin-conscious God, where God doesn't walk in a consciousness of the wrongs they've done. It must be a message where the Jesus that went into heaven, the Bible says, in the very same way he will return. And what Jesus will return? Would it be a Jesus that had a personality change in heaven that all of a sudden became an angry Jesus that wants to execute judgment in a way where he just wants to destroy people because they didn't listen to him where he was, where he's angry? Or is it the same Jesus that loved upon people, that was good to people, that walked the earth, that's going to come back? You know, Jesus, when he was upon the earth, he executed judgment. And what he did was he completely annihilated and destroyed the judicial system wherein you had to be saved by your works. He ended works righteousness. He also ended the job of the Pharisees. He ended the job of the Levites. He ended all of that, that there's no need for that anymore. And he came with a message wherein he declares clearly, according to the Greek definition of peace here, he declares our oneness. He declares rest, quietness, that we've been set at one again. He declares a tranquil state of a soul, that a soul can be assured of salvation in Christ, and that he will fear nothing from God. And he assures and he brings a message that brings forth contentment in our hearts, doesn't matter in what state we are. That's the good news. So if you hear the gospel, if you read the Bible, you need to hear and read the gospel of how God has united you with him. One of the powerful meanings of the word peace is the word prosperity. Now, that doesn't mean that when Jesus died for you that you're now just going to be rich. That is not true. The Bible clearly says, look how many of those who are rich in the faith are poor in this world. He says, let the poor say, I am rich. He doesn't say, let the poor say, I will become rich because Jesus died for me. He said, let the poor, meaning those who have no money, not see themselves as disqualified anymore and not blessed, and just look at the rich and those who has made in life, or look at the men of God that is rich and prosperous and envy their lives. He says, you cannot define your life in the abundance of your possessions. Jesus said that clearly. He said that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. But yet it says here that one of the meanings of the word peace is prosperity. And I asked the Lord, how can the meaning of peace be prosperity, since there are many poor people that has got great peace in their hearts? And this is what came to my mind. When you owe a lot of money and you cannot pay it, and somebody comes and he pays your debt for you, that which you cannot pay, and he comes with the good news of how your debt has already been paid, that would be the good news or the gospel of peace as pertaining to you and the person you owe the money to. And the emotion of not being indebted because you are prosperous now, you don't owe anymore, that is called peace. Now, I want to say to you that the gospel of peace is not the gospel of how you're going to be prosperous. Because there are many of you watching this. You can be watching so many countries all over the world, watching in Africa, where you've been poor for so many years. People in South Africa, I remember the times when I was so poor, having no money, where I had amazing peace because of the gospel, because my peace is not in what I owe. I want to tell you, you don't have to wait for your financial breakthrough to have true peace, because the true peace is, I don't owe God any good works in order to be righteous. Righteousness is a free gift. I don't owe God 20 steps of obedience in order for him to smile over my life. The gospel is the good news of how God loves the world, where God gave his son while we were yet sinners. while we were not partaking, missing the mark, not sharing in God's quality of life, where we weren't sharing in His holiness and righteousness, He came and gave His Son, saw our beauty, saw our value, and redeemed that so that we can have eternal life. Glory to God. So I want to say to you that the gospel of peace is the message of your security, of your safety, not the message of where God can just be quickly angry with you and turn His back on you when you've done something wrong. I remember the time in my life when I used to believe that, you know, I just need to confess right. I just need to believe right, otherwise God cannot do something for me. And then I would confess positive for like 3 months for that breakthrough. And then I would say something wrong or I would lose my temper and then I would hear the voice inside me, you know, just before your breakthrough, you've done this thing wrong now and now everything is a waste. Oh my goodness. That is not how God operates. That is not the gospel of peace. That is man-made logic that's got nothing to do with God. I want to tell you, God is not looking for a reason not to bless you. He looked into Himself and found all the reason to bless you because you are beautiful and acceptable to Him. Now, I want to thank you that you've watched this message. We're running out of time. And I want to just remind you to go to our website, dynamicministries.com, or you can even go to bertiebritz.com. It will take you to the same place. And I've got over 1,000 messages of radical grace that you can download there for free. I've got 2 books. The one is called Jesus is the Tithe, and the other one is called Born from Innocence. And it is also downloadable for free in e-format. I would love for you to have that because it brings such extraordinary peace and power to a person's life. Thank you so much for watching this message and know this, that you are deeply loved by God and that He smiles over your life. Amen.